Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Fan Hotline's brought to you by Nemacolin. Around every corner, Nemacolin creates real-life magic for guests. You know, Amanda's thinking about getting me Steely Dan tickets. They're coming to town. How old do you think the fine fellas from Steely Dan are these days? Mid-60s? Late 60s?
I think late 60s, early 70s.
Older than Colony?
We know they're not Hey 19 anymore.
You think they roll up some big doobies before every show?
I would imagine so, yeah. I would like to believe that they probably...
Do you think that doobies are a performance enhancer for most...
musicians?
Rock bands?
I would think that they would maybe take the edge off of if you have any nerves. Remember how Barbra Streisand notoriously could not perform in front of crowds? Severe stage fright? I would think that would help with that. I would also think cocaine is probably more of a likely performance enhancer for those guys than marijuana, though.
Jim Colony joins us. Jim, do you like Steely Dan?
They were okay. They weren't one of my, you know, I mean, we used to listen to them, and I'm pretty sure they're older than I am.
Okay.
So I would guess around 70, give or take. You know, and I think I've told you guys before, I'm not really I don't like every, even though I may like certain artists and groups and stuff, I don't automatically like everything that fill in the blank puts
out.
What,
you know what I think is odd, Jim? Is that you are, by birth, a man from the Northeast, you know, New England area, and I would expect
right.
a certain maybe kind of music. Maybe you'd like the band Boston, who knows. But every time I'm at a Colony gathering, you are just a country music listener through and through.
He is?
Yeah, like modern country,
well,
the kind I'm not crazy about.
Bro country is what
yeah,
you're saying,
Yeah, exactly,
Chris.
Yes.
Well, that's because he created Dan and Shay.
No, I helped create Dan. I got nothing to do with Shay. But they I don't know, it's and Chris, the stuff that we play, and Andrew, you've been there too, I think it's a mix of it's an eclectic mix, which includes, you know, stuff from the 60s and 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Very little from the 80s, and very little from the 80s, almost nothing from the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And then the newer country from say, you know, 2000 on. But not every, we don't like everything, you know,
yeah.
Even though, for example, I think like Carrie Underwood, okay? I mean, she can sing and she's legit.
Yeah, but what's the deal with Jim? We addressed this yesterday. She says you've been waiting all day for Sunday night, and Pony pointed out something I never thought of before. You're watching games all day.
You're not waiting for it at all.
There's not a waiting game. You've got 6.5 hours worth of football. You're waiting for like 15 minutes while Mike Florio's on the TV.
Yep.
That's about all you're waiting for. And Rodney Harrison's talking about spearing guys with his helmet. I mean, that's it. You're not waiting for anything.
There's a lot of it doesn't make much sense. You know, now Monday night football, you're waiting all night for Monday
Bingo.
Night.
Exactly.
But now the Monday night games suck compared to the Sunday night games, which are like the real, you know, they're the real top tier games each week. And the Monday night games are, I mean, last night's
You should get Dan
really
and Shay to try to write a song for Sunday night that more accurately captures the feeling that football fans have when they're thinking about that game.
Well, you know what? I love Danny, and I'm very proud of his success, even though I had absolutely nothing to do with it. But it's really cool. But I honestly don't like a lot of their stuff. Not all of it, but it's all like slow kind of ballad kind of stuff. Not ballad. That's not the right word for it.
Yeah.
But I like more of the up-tempo stuff. So full disclosure, and now Patty's mom, if she's listening, is mad at me.
Let's go to the Matt Canada, Mike Tomlin answers on why James Washington isn't playing. Tomlin said it was a matchup thing, was asked very specifically, is it about an injury? Is that why he's not playing? And just said, no, it's a matchup. And then Canada started his answer with bumps and bruises, and that's why Ray Ray was out there, and we still freaking love Washington, and he's going to be a big part of our offense. Chris and I both noted different answers on the same player from the coach and offensive coordinator today. Why do you think so?
I would tend to believe, and I'm not going to call Mike Tomlin a liar, but we know how head coaches speak. You know, to the point that I was actually, Jeff was over with Canada. I was with Butler, and then Tomlin came over at the same podium where Butler was. And Butler just kind of jokingly said, because he was, you know, he talked about Stephon Tuitt and just said, you know, he didn't know when he's coming back, acknowledged that, yeah, I'd love to have him. But he almost said something to the effect of, I didn't tell him anything, honest, when Tomlin came over to relieve him. So I do think that injuries definitely had something to do with it. But, geez, what can I say today? I saw Washington today. He was on the field. I think that's legit. So the matchup thing, and, you know, the funny thing is, later on, I know Jeff's got a piece on Freiermuth that is going to be up on our website, and because he spoke today too, I asked Tomlin about Freiermuth,
and he poo-pooed gave the same it. Answer. He poo-pooed his performance.
Not really. I just said, why did? Because I'm trying to figure out.
Well, he didn't give him any credit. Question. He just basically said it was because of who they were playing.
The matchups.
Right.
Well, he said the same thing. It was almost like it was a continuation of the Washington answer where he goes like, it's matchups, guys. And, you know, and truthfully, Matt Canada, although he said this about Derek Watt during training camp, and it was about, you know, there you're going to see him. It depends on the matchups when he's going to play. And I just thought, so he has said that in the past. It's not, but I honestly, I think they're both right. But I believe that Canada is more right than Tomlin was in the Washington instance. Although, you know, we saw more than Ray McLeod is the preferable guy on the options, but on the jet sweep options rather. But Washington is more suitable to replace what Juju Smith-Schuster did. So I there was too much Ray for me. I like him, but there was too much of him. I'd rather see.
Yeah, if he's supposed to be Mr. Elusive, and you throw him that little bubble screen on 3rd and 3 in a huge spot, and he gets absolutely just run over and can't make a guy miss. That's pretty much what you're there to do, buddy.
Yeah, I know. Well, hey, Chris, you know what? The other thing that he did, and again, you know, they won the game, so that's good. But when they had a chance late and had to, can't remember if they had, I think they had to punt. Maybe it might have been an overtime. It's 3rd and 4, and he posts up 2.5 yards over the line of scrimmage. You don't do that, right? I mean, you need to
no stick awareness.
You go 5, and I didn't. That was a play that I didn't like at all. And of course, then the quarterback threw it to him anyway. And you know, the other guy made a good play. You know, Ray McLeod's a guy who's supposed to make the. You know, sometimes you give them a responsibility to make one guy miss. So maybe you want to credit the other guy for making a good read, but I don't know. To me, it's like, and you have to be where the quarterback expects you to be. I understand that, but I just don't like the idea of somebody.
Maybe, Jim, maybe Roethlisberger got confused and assumed that it would be the Steelers trying to make an open field tackle there and thought he had it made in the shade. Maybe he thought, yep, Devin Bush was going to be the man assigned to Ray McLeod there. Has there been a more damning thing said about Devin Bush without actually being technically said about Devin Bush than Robert Spillane was on the field because he does certain things better than Devin Bush? Are you kidding me? That is, if I were Devin Bush, my antenna would go way up and I would feel like I was on very much on notice from the coaching staff.
Well, good. You know what? Good. I mean, if that's the way, now I can't imagine. I don't, there are coaches that operate like this. As far as I know, the coaches that I've dealt with in this town do not operate, at least the current ones, they do not operate that way where they will. I've heard about, I'll throw the name out there. A player told me once about Alain Vigneault that he'll say one thing to a player and then he'll say something else in the media. And to me, that's like the worst thing you can do as a coach. I don't think that anytime you hear a coach, whether it's Keith Butler in this instance or even Tomlin, who was asked the same question, that it's nothing that they haven't said to Devin Bush face to face.
Okay.
You know, if they're going to challenge a guy, they're not going to throw it out there to a bunch of us during a bye week practice on a Tuesday to try to motivate the guy. Face. I'm almost positive that that's the way that they would operate here. But nonetheless, but you're right, it is damning. And it's not just damning for Devin Bush, it's also damning for Joe Schobert, who was brought in specifically and given the green dot, you know, for the dime defense kind of things. And it's almost like if you go down, okay, well, hey, Dev, you're not getting the job done. We're putting Joe in there. We're leaving Joe in, and then you're not getting the job done either.
It seems, Jim, it seems pretty obvious that the unspoken thing they are suggesting Spillane does better than both of those guys, but especially I guess I'll go with Devin Bush, is actually tackle people. He might not be able to run with them. He might not be able to cover them, but if they're in front of him, he will, in fact, tackle them.
Well, my piece on the website this afternoon is about tackling, because I asked both Tomlin and Keith Butler about that, and you know what they can do to work on it and so forth and so on.
I didn't like Tomlin's answer about spatial awareness there, Jim. I think that's a tough situation. The tackling is bad, and I'm not saying it can't get fixed, but that's something where you need reps. You need to actually hit somebody else. Spatial awareness be damned.
There's the combination of the old school Coach Butts, you know, tackling sled that he talked about, and Tomlin's, you know, conceptual stuff. It's a marriage of the two. Again, this is an instance where they're both right, but it's just with the missed tackles. By my unofficial count, I had 9 of them, including the rare hat trick where Terrell Edmonds, Minka, and Joe Hayden all missed tackles on the same play. And that one, oddly enough, did not lead to one of the Seattle scores, but there were 5 other missed tackles that did. And that was just my unofficial count. There may have been more than that. And so they're working on it. It was the first thing Tomlin mentioned when he talked about, you know, how you use bye weeks and you try to, you know, you clean up stuff. You go back and review and you clean it up. And tackling was the first thing he mentioned. You know, I mean, obviously, as Mike Tomlin might say, the tackling was awful. The weird thing is that in team stats, that the Steelers, according to Pro Football Reference, have missed 31 tackles through 6 games. That's 5 per game. But there are 26 other teams that have missed more tackles, and some of those teams have only played 5 games. So I don't know. It obviously needs to get better, and they're aware of it, and they're going to try to do something about it. But man. You know, and again, they got away with it. They won the game.
Man, Jim, that's actually, though, where I was going to go next, is that they got away with it, but they got away with it, by my reckoning, really, for a small handful of reasons. One, T.J. Watt is the best player on the field and behaved like it two nights ago. Two, they were getting Geno Smith and not Russell Wilson. And three, despite fact number two there, or reason number two, only the Seahawks, I think, calling a pass on a couple of occasions when they should have called a run kept it from being a win for them. And what I thought was, to be fair, a pretty specious holding call on the Seahawks on a play where Hayward got absolutely pancaked out of the play, it looked like. And the Seahawks, I think, were hit with a 10-yard penalty that changed the game.
And you know what? Yeah, I agree with that. You know, maybe Hayward actually got some respect, you know, for a guy of his pedigree and his reputation. And he often doesn't get that. And we see T.J. Watt get held all the time when it doesn't get called. And that's true for other edge rushers as well. You know, the one thing to the Steelers' credit is that, you know, when I went and I went through all the my unofficial count of missed tackles, the last one helped the Seahawks to the field goal that made it 17-17. After that, there were no more missed tackles. And, yeah, they did give up that late field goal drive. But other than that, you know, the Steelers' tackling got a lot better, maybe because T.J. Watt figured he'd tackle everybody before the linebackers and secondary had to deal with them. You know, I agree with you, Chris, on that sequence where they got the ball, at the 36-yard line?
Mm-hmm.
The Steelers 36, and then they went backwards, including that just ridiculous sack for a loss of 14, whatever it was. You know, that was unbelievable. That's where based on how they had run the ball in the second half to that point, just hand it off 3 times and kick a field goal.
Hand it off 3 times? They might have been in the end zone if they had handed it off 3 times.
Yeah. Yeah, Jim,
bottom line point for me is, and we talked about this yesterday, so we didn't really get a chance to bounce it off of you, They're 3-3, but and I'm, I guess, heartened to see some people whom I've disagreed with about the Steelers so far this year. It doesn't feel like there's a whole lot of good stuff and good vibes to take out of beating the Seahawks the way they did. I mean, that should have been a game where
Don't say that to Dunlap. He said defense, a win is a win, and you're not allowed,
your defense
not allowed to critique it.
Your defense should have humiliated Geno Smith.
And I think Jim might have gone along with that on Monday.
No, I understand. The whole thing came up when Ed said something. When they asked Eddie Boo, do you feel better or worse about the Steelers than you did at noontime on Sunday? And Ed said he felt worse.
What's wrong with that?
I understand nothing. I understand exactly where he's coming from. And I said, you know, I'm not complaining. I'm not going to complain about a victory. Okay, I'm not going to complain about a victory. What I am going to do is and it's not even nitpicking. It's what the coaches do. They go back and they go back and assess what had happened. And okay, we won the game, but my God, we couldn't tackle anybody. Our third down play calls. What are we doing here on offense? And why did we score, you know, two touchdowns early, and then we couldn't do much of anything the rest of the game? You know, you have to go back and even when you win, I mean, it's like that with coaches in every sport. You know, when coaches are almost more difficult on their players coming off a victory, I'm saying, you know, where they can be more critical coming off a victory than sometimes they are when they come off a loss, when they might have to, you know, motivate and treat their players a little bit differently to keep the morale up, for lack of a better term. So the disappointing thing to me. The most disappointing thing to me in the game, other than that, the stuff we've already talked about, was that I had really seen the offensive line take some strides to the point that I'm thinking, you know what, maybe it's true that it will get better as the season goes along. And maybe when the schedule gets tougher, that they will be able to compete with some of these better teams if the offensive line continues to get better. And that was not the case Sunday night. It just wasn't. I didn't see the steps forward that had been taken earlier. And we'll see how the coaches feel about that. They really don't have a lot of options. I know you got Zach Banner coming up next hour. So he is an option. Other than that, we don't really know the status of Moore, Dan Moore, because he left that game. But, you know, he does have extra time to heal.
Jim, do you think that the Pickett family should invite me to Saturday's tailgate because I'm a Heisman Trophy voter and it would be a good idea?
You're a Heisman Trophy voter?
Yes.
I thought that was common knowledge at the station because I've said that about him for a while.
Do you think the Pickets would be advised to roll out the red carpet for me?
Yeah, I mean that's not against the rules. You know, name, image, likeness. That I don't think any of that stuff. Or I don't. Yeah, of course they should invite you to the tailgate. Do you know them? Can you get a hold of them?
Well, I do a show with their kid.
Well, that's true. Yes, of course you should be at the Pickett tailgate.
Thank you, Jim.
What, are you crazy?
That's Jim Colony, 93.7thefan.com. Crazy enough to have a Heisman vote. Thank you.
I did once.
You did?
I did when I worked in New Hampshire. The votes are distributed geographically, and I didn't really cover college football, but they needed, I think there were like, I don't know, there were four or five, 10 people in New Hampshire, and a guy asked me, said,
who did you vote for? Who's your most controversial Heisman vote?
He didn't vote for Flutie, and everyone in New Hampshire was livid in Manchester.
You know what? I might have voted for Flutie. I know I voted one year for Eric Dickerson. I know that. And if I still had the Heisman vote, I might not have because I lost my job at that point in '84.
Sorry to hear about that.
It's a peril. Everything's turned out okay since, hasn't it?
Oh yeah, definitely.
What would have been the opposite of congratulations on all your success? Apologies for your
All right, Jim.
Losing my job in New Hampshire that eventually led to a job in Boston. No, that was okay. It worked out.
All right. Well, then guess what, Jim? Congratulations on all your success.
Perfect. Bye, Jim.
See you later.
You know what I think is going to be cool about this whole situation on Saturday?
That you're going to get to hang out with Kenny Pickett's
family. The idea now that, you know, Pitt is accepting me in to the tent with open arms because of the cachet that I have is that Craig is going to be like Turtle in Entourage and is going to be around to also reap the benefits of that.
Very much so.
And I think if Craig was put on Earth to do
anything...
Is
he more Turtle or is he more Johnny Drama, though?
I think Craig was put on this Earth to reap benefits. Like, I think him...
Look at him over there.
I think him taking advantage of.
Craig was meant to, he was put on this earth to essentially be a plus one.
Yes.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.